Good evening, everyone. Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to thank the Los Angeles Computer Society for having us out. My name is Megan Fox. I'm an educator of 20 years. I only taught in the classroom for 4 years. I spent most of my career as an instructional coach, and I did that for most of my career. And I found that my love lied with teaching adults. So as an instructional coach, what I do is I teach teachers and I train teachers and I help make it easier for teachers to teach. And that's a little bit about me in the educational realm. And this is...
Good evening. I am Dr. Mary Frances Spruce. And before arriving in education, I spent over 20 years in entertainment. So I reinvented myself from entertainment and went back to school to get a credential, a teaching credential, and I had to decide if I'd like younger kids or older kids. So I subbed around for a bit, and I found that I couldn't handle the young kids. So my taste and my interests were in the older kids. Now I am also an instructional coach. This is my first year. I'm coming out of the classroom. I have been teaching for 8 years in the Englewood Unified School District, English language arts. So I've taught 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, and 12th grade English. Now I'm an instructional coach, and this is my first year. And we're learning a lot as instructional coaches, and our goal is to help the entire district in this whole transformation to integrate Common Core and technology in the classroom.
I'd like to welcome you all to Getting to the Core, Integrating Technology into the Common Core Standards. When we got the call from Maury, he said he wanted somebody to explain the Common Core Standards with a technology emphasis as it relates to high school students. I jumped at the opportunity because that's exactly what we do. We dissect information and we present it so that it's more receivable. I don't know if that's a word, but and that's what we do. And I just enlisted Mary, and Mary just said, okay. That's all she said. She said, okay. And so we're here today. We're excited to be here to break down the standards for you guys. Some of the things you will learn about this evening are you'll become familiar with the Common Core Standards for high school students. You will learn about the expectations of the 21st century learner. You'll also become familiar with the technological and digital implications for students. And you'll also learn ways to help students become college and career ready. So by the end of this presentation, you'll be familiar with all of those topics, and then, of course, we'll be around to answer questions afterwards. In order to introduce you to the Common Core Standards, I want to show you a short 3-minute video that can get you acclimated with this idea of Common Core.
Yes. Okay.
Go ahead.
So while we are getting the Wi-Fi hooked up, I always like to know the audience. How many educators or teachers are here today, this evening? How many secondary teachers? Okay, elementary. How many retired teachers do we have? That's always good. I'm looking forward to that myself.
Does it count that I was teaching when I was a teenager? I had a teaching credential.
Absolutely. You are still an educator. And then, how many people have kids or grandkids or nieces or nephews that are in school? that need help, because it takes a village to raise kids today. So we all have some commonality here. How many technology people, everyone in here, from my understanding, because you're in the organization, you're what I call a technological expert. Because that is not my forte, and I need help every single day to navigate everything that we have to do with technology today. And it's a lot, a lot. And we need people like you. We still need consultants, because there's so much there, and everything's driven by technology. Our test today, which Megan will talk more about, is no longer a paper test. It's all on the computer. And the hardest thing for students and for teachers is knowing how to navigate to the test. And now, I was in training out in Costa Mesa yesterday and today, and CAS is what it's called, Smarter Balance. That's the big test now. CAESI is going away. That high school exit exam will be no more. So now it's Smarter Balance. And just the navigation of loan and how to score it, it's like very mind-boggling to most educators today. Are we ready? I tried to vamp. Okay. So when you look at the video, there are just some questions I want you to ask yourself. What did you get from the video? What do you think about Common Core? Once you view the video, what do you think about Common Core? Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Or is it just something that you've already done before and you've seen before? It just has a new label.
Like it or not, life is full of measuring sticks. How smart we are, how fast we are, how well we can, you know, compete. But up until now, it's been pretty hard to tell how well kids are competing in school and how well they're going to do when they get out of school. We like to think that our education system does that. But when it comes to learning what they really need to be successful after graduation, is a girl in your neighborhood being taught as much as her friend over in the next one? Is a graduating senior in, say, St. Louis as prepared to get a job as a graduate in Shanghai? Well, it turns out the answer to both of these questions is no. Because for years, states have been setting different standards for what students should know and be able to do at each grade level. That's making it too hard to know if our kids are really doing well enough overall. And if they can really compete for a job someday, what we really need are clear goals. That's where the Common Core state standards come in. They're like a total sea change in education. Consistent, strong, clear benchmarks for English language arts and math. Here's how it works. You can think of kindergarten through 12th grade like a giant staircase. Each step is a skill your child needs to learn before stepping up to the next one. But right now, too many kids aren't really confident with, like, 2 plus 2 before they have to move on to 2 times 2. We need more focus on the skills that help them move up the stairs, or they can slip up and fall behind. And there's another problem. What if everyone's stairs were made at different heights? Well, here we go again. They are. So, a boy in Seattle who's rocking an A in English literature could be getting a C on his Chicago friend's staircase. Oops. We need to create consistent steps in education, too. So first, each standard creates a landing on the staircase, a stop along the way as your child heads toward high school graduation. Each stop is a chance for every parent and teacher to focus on the skills their students are supposed to know at that step, no matter the zip code, language, or race. And more importantly, each standard makes sure all students are learning what they need to know to get to graduation and beyond. Because something like counting to 100 leads to understanding dollars and cents, which eventually leads to understanding how to manage a budget. Secondly, the standards are consistent from school to school, and they match up against international standards too. Now we know how we're doing compared to just about everyone. So even though local communities will still design their own curriculum with the same rules, everybody can compete on the same kind of staircase. But standards aren't learning. That's why we need teachers, parents, and students to help make that happen by working together to help kids meet these standards. The world's getting more and more competitive every day. But now, when our kids get to the top of their staircase, they can have way more options on where their life goes from there. Clear goals, confident, well-prepared students. That's the Common Core state standards.
So, what we're talking about with the Common Core state standards and why they were created, imagine if you or your family or the family of a kid that's in school today, imagine if they had to move in the middle of the school year to another district or to another state. And what has happened in the past when they make that move based on what's being taught at that new school? They're either ahead of the school or they're either behind that school. So these standards were created locally, statewide, so that when students move, everyone is teaching by the same set of standards or the same set of rules, creating the same rigor. And we also have the national standards that do the same thing. So you can move to New York. And Engage New York was the first state to really roll out these Common Core state standards.
This is an initiative that's happening all across the nation. And if you look at the states in yellow, these are all of the states who have adopted the Common Core standards. When you look at the states in orange, you see that they did not want to be a part of the Common Core standards. I guess they have their own program. But are you guys familiar with your states? What state is this? Nebraska? I don't know. I don't know all my states. I'm a product of the public school system. That's why we need Common Core. Uh-oh, what did I do? Okay. We have Texas here. What's right here? Okay, and up here, and here. Yeah. So you see most of the country is aligned with the Common Core standard, and this is something that we need. It's something that we need for consistency throughout the nation. Like Mary said, if a child comes from California and they travel to Florida, they should be able to pick up where they left off in California. It shouldn't be such a large disparity in the educational system right within the same country. Yes. So
yes.
The thing that's different about the Common Core standards is that previously we had English language arts standards for English language arts, we had standards for math, standards for science, standards for social studies. So it's a little different now because the social studies are to be integrated into the English language arts, because social studies is really just reading. And so you're integrating the social studies into the English language arts. Right now you're supposed to do the same thing for the science, but new science standards are coming, 2016. So they have a new set of science standards that are coming. So right now you basically have your ELA and you have your math.
What are the Common Core state standards? Well, basically, it's a set, as it states here, it's a set of grade-by-grade learning expectations for students from K to 12. So the first rollout was for English language arts and math. Last year, being a member of the Instructional Leadership Corps and the Stanford Project, we rolled out the Next Generation Science Standards. And now the social studies or social sciences standards have been rolled out. But the one thing that's common across the board in all content areas is that they are a set of clear, consistent, and high learning goals. That is the key. Rigor. We call it rigor. That's what it's set up for. So the four C's of Common Core, collaboration, creativity, critical thinking, and communication. When we say collaboration, we want our kids to know how to work in groups together. Because
is that rigor?
Not that kind of rigor. We want active rigor, not the kind that just shuts down. So that's the kind of rigor that we're pushing. But in the collaboration, when they collaborate, they're creating. Because we were in training last week for project-based learning. We want our kids to know how to take things from life, go out and do research, and come back with evidence. How did you find that? How did you discover that? And we want them to be critical, analytical thinkers, to be able to think out of the box. That's why we're getting away from the multiple choice questions. pick A, B, or C, and we have a video we'll share with you shortly about that. But we want kids to be able to work a math problem and then be able to explain, how did you come up with that answer? Okay, so the number may be wrong, but the process, they're able to really explain the process of at least the steps that they went through to try to solve that problem. And today in some of our tests, you will get something, it won't all be wrong if you try to just explain the process of what you tried to do. And then, of course, communicators. The generation today, we call them millennials. And as you all see and know, you're at a red light. And what are they doing? They're crossing the street like this. And they can't let this phone. It's a big problem. It's a huge problem in class for teachers now, that the cell phones. So now what we're trying to do is have them incorporate the cell phones into learning. If you won't put it down, they say, if you can't lick them, join them. So now sometimes they will put it down. Okay, I don't want to do that research today. I don't have my phone, see? So being able to communicate, that's huge. So again, the expectation of Common Core, more time to focus on preparing students for college. We want college-ready students, college and career-ready, because all kids are not going to college. So when you finish high school, we want you to be able to go out and apply for a job and succeed at that job with some kind of skill set, by the way. So more time for teachers to develop these 21st century learners. That is the key. That is the goal.
So why the need for the 21st century learner? I am going to show you why. Yes, thank you so much. I need one of them here right now. Yes, that's right. That's right. They start early. That's right.
I'm glad you asked that question. How do you know, are there any guarantees that if a student, a kid moves from one state to another state, that they're on target to be able to compete with the students in that state and in that class? Those, quite honestly, are the mysteries that we're all trying to solve, because we're still all trying to figure this thing out. And as you know, schools are at different levels. We're from Inglewood, and if you've been reading anything about Inglewood, we've had some real issues. We're in state receivership. We don't have the resources that some schools out there have. And it's a problem, because when you have all the resources you need for kids to learn and they have good teachers, they, of course, will have those resources to learn. When you are limited in your resources, you do the best you can, and it affects the mindset. It affects the teachers. It affects the kids, and that is our challenge today. But every day we're striving to improve, and that's all of this learning, all of this Common Core. So hopefully with the state standards and teachers actually teaching those standards, the students will not be behind, but at least able to keep up or may even be ahead, depending on the school and the district. Absolutely. Palos Verdes, in fact, what is the Palos Verdes High? They have a lot of resources. And, of course, the community itself, the parents are kind of financially endowed to be able to help the school. The one thing, our state scores, just in general, not just Inglewood, but in general, math was horrible last year. And all of our scores were just not very good. And this year, we all, as educators, have a lot of pressure to try to raise the bar. And it's not easy. We're all trying to figure this thing out day by day. And we need parent support. We need retiree support. Because sometimes you all may be holding the golden nugget that might do something or help something in some way, and we've just overlooked that. Because things worked in the past, but we're just trying to figure out the present. We do. We have, in fact, our elementary schools, our union president started Parent University, because the problem we've had kids who had kids at when they were kids, and they didn't quite finish their educational journey. And so some of the parents, especially those who are where English is a second language, there's a parent university for elementary to help them understand the homework, to how to help their kids do homework. But when you reach secondary, sometimes there's a disconnect because the kids won't tell the parents what's going on, and the parents are so busy trying to just make things happen, they put it all on the teacher. So we're challenged. Absolutely. And that's why it's so important, because they're into more technology than any of us. Well, you all, of course, you are into the technology, but for sure, they're not the book readers. But you all know that the more you read, the more you know. Now, it's how we try to connect the book, because as an English teacher last year, I used audio books. And sometimes I always say to teachers, okay, do you know who's sitting before you every day? Because we're all not auditory. We're not kinesthetic. Some of us, I'm a visual learner. And if you show me bells and whistles, you engage me. So we first have to start there, to know who's sitting in the classroom and how to differentiate the work. But absolutely, we need to have more, and that's why technology is so important, putting them in front of the laptop with interactive ways to learn grammar that I push, and some don't really teach today. But it's very important, because students don't know how a subject and verb, how they must agree. Okay, for next generation science, and I'm glad you asked about science, because as we rolled it out last year, one of the key things with the Stanford Project is, in science, you know how you used to do the experiment, and you'd write the hypothesis, and then you'd write the next evidence statement. Now, I'm kind of, don't correct, science is not my thing. But basically how that has been turned around is science teachers now want students to write what's called statements of understanding. What did you see? What happened when you saw that? How did it change, or how did it affect anything? Did it affect anything? So basically everything now, writing is attached to every single subject. You write in math class. You write in science class. And honestly, some of our schools, I'll say our public schools, we don't have the labs like we had last in our generation or decades ago, because financially, insurance and all of those things you add in, and just schools being old. Now we have what's called virtual labs, where you go to a computer and you can see the same thing that you might do or would have done 20 or 30 years ago in a classroom. You see it virtually on a computer. And who's doing that? Basically, the teacher guides that. You find a website, and some of those websites, I have a few, and I'm so sorry, it's hard to read. But some of those virtual websites are on the technology papers back there for science. I hope that answered your question a little bit. Okay, who's writing the rules? Well, would you say the state and former educators?
Usually what they do is they get a panel of people when they are making these changes in education, and sometimes you have policymakers, you have business owners, you have educators, administrators. So there are people, there are all stakeholders that come together to write these new standards. So it's a panel of people.
Yes, absolutely. 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 What we have what's called professional development. We don't have enough of it because basically by law there's so many minutes that have to be designated to instructional time. And unless teachers are willing to stay after school, which most aren't. When the bell rings, they're ready to go. Enough for the day. So it's hard to get that collaboration time. Now, some schools, one of our high schools, all like subjects, like all of the English language arts teachers have the same prep period. So that's time for them to collaborate and think about lessons and how, what will be taught in ninth grade, how they'll roll out a lesson or a unit. History, their prep period is at the same time so that they can think and plan. What teachers are supposed to do on a weekly basis is present a lesson plan to the principal, and the principal then collects all of these plans so that if the state administrator or the state or FICMAT, because we have most of our high schools last year went through WASC accreditation, and we had to prove and show on paper the lessons and the units and what was being taught. And they created a huge report on their findings and what they saw. They came into each classroom, observed us teaching, and we had to have our standards on the board. What were our, what was our agenda? What were our expected outcomes? And then they watched us teach. Were we teaching what we had on the board? And they made notation of it. They selected at random students to talk to the day they came to the school, and then followed them around all day to see what they were doing. And then they wrote this report, and basically the report, we have a lot of things to work on. That was basically the gist of it. And
but,
we are. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I was going to say the standards are so new, it's hard to say whether or not to have any like core research associated with the standards, because it's something that happened so new. And you said something about the method of instruction has changed. I don't think it's so much the method of instruction as what we are teaching. I think what we're teaching is changing, but not so much the method of instruction, because good teaching is good teaching. Best practices are best practices no matter what you're teaching. So teachers need to engage students. They need to practice student engagement strategies. That's going to be the same no matter what you teach. So all they may be getting is refreshers on student engagement, how to engage our students, okay? What we want more of, we want more writing, more explanation, more proof, more sources, more evidence. That's what they're, that's to me the big difference between Common Core and the older standards. The older standards, they stretched a mile wide and went an inch deep. That's what the old standards did. These standards are more condensed. It's not as many standards, but they want you to go deep. When they talk about rigor, they're talking about going deep. You know, not just scratching the surface, but really getting those children to analyze information, create things, and just go to the very top of the Bloom's taxonomy chart. I don't know. I don't know if this is a reaction to it, but I know what has happened as I began to talk about the 21st century learner is that corporations are finding that their hiring pool is not qualified for the job. There are certain skills that these people need, and the graduates who are coming out of college, college graduates, are not qualified to do the work. So I think that mainly is what stemmed this big push to get these people ready for the workforce, the future workforce, or the current workforce. Mm-hmm. So with that, these are, this is the framework for the 21st century learner, okay? So you have your Common Core or your core subjects, which are your ELA and math, but then you also have these 21st century themes that I will talk about, okay? You have life and career skills, as well as learning and innovation skills, and then, of course, we have our information, media, and technology skills, okay? So with the 21st century themes, this is what we want our future generation to be aware of. We want them to have this sense of global awareness. We're not an isolated country. We're not working in isolation. This is a global world, global economy, global competition, and our children need to be able to compete. Okay? They need to have a sense of financial literacy, economic literacy, and business and entrepreneurial literacy. The world is changing, and it's changing fast. Jobs are becoming more and more scarce. With that, we need to teach young people how to earn their own income. We need to plant the seed of entrepreneurship very early so that they can survive, because the world is basically changing at a fast rate. Civic literacy. We live in a democracy. We don't want apathetic citizens. We want people who will go out there and fight for change. They need to know health literacy, that everything they put in their mouth affects them. And then they need to know environmental literacy, because right now we're destroying Mother Earth. So they need to figure out how to save Mother Earth, right? Because we're destroying it as we speak. Okay? So just a little bit more about learning and innovation skills, okay? Learning and innovation skills separate students who are prepared for complex life and work environments against those who are not. These include creativity and innovation, critical thinking and problem solving, communication and collaboration. And see, these are the four C's of Common Core, okay? And then the creativity and innovation piece, this is where our way makers come from. These are the people who think outside the box and come up with new technologies and just for the future. Information and media technology skills. Citizens and workers must be able to exhibit a range of functional, technological, and critical thinking skills like information literacy. I'll talk about that a little. I'll talk about all of this a little later. Information, media, and information communications and technology literacy. Life and career skills. Okay. Our students have to be flexible. They can't be rigid like a tree. They have to bend like the grass. Okay? They have to have initiative and self-direction. Okay? They have to be social and cross-cultural. America's a melting pot. They need to be productive and accountable to themselves. I'm going to tell you this. My daughter's having trouble with accountability. She's 13 years old. She has not been turning in her work. And I told her that's not a good thing. Okay? Not turning in your work shows how accountable you are. And if you cannot be accountable to yourself and do what you have to do, that's just not a good sign of your success in the future. You have to take you're supposed to have that initiative and that self-direction to say, this is my assignment and it must be turned in by this date. So these are important skills that we have to teach our children. Okay, and then of course we want leaders, responsible leaders. Okay, how do we create these 21st century learners? With the Common Core. And we have yet to prove this, but it'll take some time before we prove it.
Yes.
Okay, you want this here or you want me to?
Okay, now let's see if I'm technologically savvy. So to get a little bit into the shift, so I won't read everything up there, but this is the gist of the shift in English language arts and literacy. We want, it's about building knowledge through content-rich nonfiction. Also, reading, writing, and speaking grounded in evidence from the text. What does all of this mean? Regular practice with complex text. If you notice the things in bold, that's our focus. And that they have academic language. Most of our kids today, you know, they talk to each other, but they don't understand how to speak or write informal English. So we want to teach them the difference between a text. I've received essays that had U, the letter U, for Y-O-U. And they didn't, what's wrong with it? Well, it's not a text, right? This is an essay. Suppose this was something you were submitting to a college. You would not get in. It would not be read. So that's the shift. We want to focus on complex, evidence-based texts that will build their knowledge. And if you have grandkids, if you have nieces, nephews, if you have kids, you want, or kids who are having kids, you want them to read. Find out what they like. What kind of things do they like? Because you're trying to find where are their gifts. What are they really here? What is their purpose? You know, we all have a purpose-driven life. So you want to start buying them. I used to buy my son at Christmas. He'd get some toys, but then there was a whole part that was educational as well. And he knew that was going to be there. It's like, well, I guess the toys have ended now. Okay, all this stuff here is education. Absolutely. So the shifts in math basically must be focused. Focus strong that tie in with the standards. The coherence, think across the grades, link to major topics. We're talking cross-curriculum here. We had some things at our training that applied life skills. If you got tickets to a game, a basketball game, would it be more cost-effective to buy seasonal tickets at $12 to get 86 games, to see 86 games, or 20 tickets on the front row or something like that? And I'm like, I'm not math, but I'll try to work it out. And then I had to write a statement on why I selected that. Again, back to writing. Rigor. Major topics. Pursue conceptual understanding, procedural skills, and fluency, and the application with equal intensity. Can you explain what you just did in that problem? Those are the shifts. So again, the standards, basically we want, again, to help the next generation of K-12 standards, to create, rather, the next generation of K-12 standards in order to help ensure that all students are college and career ready. Some of my students say, well, I don't want to go to college, because no one had actually ever said to them, you can. You are able, if you just apply yourself, you are the type of kid that can succeed in college. We just have to find what your niche is. What is your brand? Uh-oh. So that's my technology faux pas. Okay, good. So again, college and career readiness. What does that mean under the standards for English? Well, key ideas and details. What I have provided in the back without reading all of this, there's a one sheet that has the content standards for English language arts 9-10, and on the back is the standards at a glance for English language arts 11-12. So we want them to be able to interpret words and phrases. Read, close reading is what we want. Being able to comprehend what they read. What was the author's intent and purpose? Be able to evaluate. And again, read complex texts. Okay, yay! Writing. Argument. That's our focus. Argument. Being able to write arguments and support those claims. Analyze. What did it mean? What are you talking about? Why? Then produce clear and coherent writing. Also use technology. And write continuously. We're pushing journal writing. Every day write something, whether it's before you go to bed and shut your eyes for the night, or during class. Some teachers have incorporated journal writing in the classroom. First 20 minutes, you're either going to read, or the first 20 minutes, you're going to write. Your exit ticket to leave is to write something in your journal and then put it away. Being able to speak, being able to listen. We found, and I used to do an exercise, I would get a puzzle for a three-year-old, 24 pieces. I would blindfold my students. And I'd have groups of three. One person was to just watch. The other person was to direct the person blindfolded in putting the puzzle together. They were amazed at, number one, how they could not give direction, and they could not touch the pieces. Only the person putting the puzzle together. And they were always floored by the fact that I just didn't know how to give that direction. Again, speaking and listening. So that was a good exercise. But we want them to be prepared. And I used to tell my athletes in my class, don't embarrass me as your English teacher that if you go off to college and you get this four-year ride and then they're interviewing you and you're splitting verbs. And I would tell them, you know, when you say something and it's not grammatically correct, it's like a singer who hits a bad note. And it just sounds horrible. And that caught on with my students. They were like, ooh, that's a bad note you just said. You know, ain't and don't and is ain't. I'm like, what? So, but those are the things you have to kind of relate to kids and get across to them that we're speaking the King's English. And then being able to speak and stand up in front of people with ease. I said, imagine people are sitting with their birthday suits on. So, of course, this new generation, what's a birthday suit? So, college and career readiness standards for language. So, the conventions of language, of course, to demonstrate that you have a command of the King's English or English grammar and usage and writing. And being able to apply it when needed. We have seniors now. Ms. Spruce, Dr. Spruce, would you write a letter of recommendation for me? And I would always tell them, I tell you what, you write down what I would say about you. And I said, yeah, you're still in my class. So you write down what I would say about you, and I will edit it and see if I would say that about you. I said, and be honest. And they put them back on the spot. But they do it, some do, and some never come back. Oh, one thing before I move on, vocabulary. We must build vocabulary. That is one of our problems with our students. They don't have vocabulary. And what we're getting away from in Common Core is learn 10 words for the week and get the quiz on Friday for the 10 words. Well, they don't remember the words after that Friday. So now we are incorporating, if you read a short story, we're incorporating the vocabulary from the short story in a writing piece. And you use it in writing the entire week to build that vocabulary so that it's retained. So again, these are key concepts, and it's basically what's been stated already. Reading, text complexity, writing, different text types, reading and research, more research, speaking and listening, being flexible as a communicator, being able to globally communicate with others, and of course, understanding language conventions and using them effectively with vocabulary.
Can I interject for 1 second, Ms. Mary, Dr. Mary? With the Common Core standards, they really focus on the integration of the reading, writing, listening, and speaking. Listening is a skill that must be taught, and it's a skill that must be practiced. So a lot of the activities focus on students having to speak, children having to listen, repeat, make responses to what was said. So those things are important because really you can't have reading without writing, or you can't have writing without reading, and you can't have listening without speaking, and vice versa. So those things are working together. And also with the Common Core standards, you have what's called the anchor standards. Before, at different grade levels, they had very different things that they would teach. But now, they have like these anchor standards. So Mary went over them. Like for ELA, there are 10 anchor standards. But it's the same for kindergarten through 12th grade. So everybody's learning the same thing, but just at a different level. And this makes it easier for children to be successful because everybody is teaching the same main standard. It's just that it's tiered for each grade level. So I just wanted to say that about the standards.
And thank you, Megan. And also, as Megan stated earlier, again, it's students being able to demonstrate independence That is the key. That is so key to learning today. And build strong content knowledge. Value evidence and being able to find evidence to back up opinions or arguments. And then, again, the use of technology and digital media and just really being able to navigate around the use of technology is key. Because there are universities today and some kids, now, I am old school, and when it came to online university, I opted for the classroom because I'm just old school with book and paper and that Dropbox and drop the statement over here and no, don't answer one, you're going to answer two and then you're going to drop that over here and now you got to respond to a statement, not one, but two. Oh, no, but then you're getting graded on question four and put it in the Dropbox over here. I'm like, nope, I'll just go to class. But learning today now is more online or is blended, and that's the wave of today and learning. Let's see what else. So I won't read all of this, but this is math. These are the math principles with the explanation of understanding numbers, expressions, equations, functions, and quantities. And these are all the math principles for college and career-ready students who understand math and what they need to do with math. Again, modeling, shape, coordinates, probability, and statistics. The key concepts, basically, they just want to know that students have an understanding and that they will persevere to solve the problem and not give up when it gets difficult. And they can support in writing how they came to an understanding of the problem. And again, being precise, argument shows up in math, looks for structure, and can make strategic decisions when it comes to numbers and problem solving. So technology today. So what are we using when we keep talking about technology? Reading, writing, listening, and speaking. This is a good time because the next part, and I just want to be aware of your time.
Okay, so now we are going to look at the technology piece in education. Mary was able to review the standards with you, the ELA standards and the math standards. So now we're going to look at how technology plays a role in education and the implications of it for our students. Students must employ technology to enhance their reading, writing, listening, and speaking skills. There are many aspects of technology. When you say technology, we can actually go on and on and on about technology, but these are the aspects I will cover. I will cover the hardware, software, information, media, product creation, and technology testing skills. Okay. So let's start with hardware. This is the Computer Society, so I know you guys are familiar with hardware. But for our students, hardware not only includes the computer. Back when I was in college and we said hardware, it's basically your CPU or your computer. But hardware now is not only the computer, but the monitor, a phone, a tablet, camera, microphone, MP3 player, production equipment. Because now students are doing so much with technology. So that's the hardware. Then they have to consider the software. They will identify, use, and or create software applications to execute tasks. So on the cell phone and tablet, they'll use apps to do things. And on desktop applications, you have your web browsers, word processing programs, media players. So there's a number of different types of software that students use. Now, I touched on information literacy earlier, but this is what we mean when we talk about information literacy. Students must be able to gather information and assess the credibility of each print and digital source. So it's not just gathering information. They have to analyze the information. Is this a reputable source? Can I use this? Is this truly a piece of credible information? They have to use advanced searches to gather information, assess the reliability and usefulness of each source. They have to present information in diverse media or formats, and they have to analyze information in different mediums. So they may have to look at something in text and compare it to something they saw in the video, for example. Media. Students must present information from standards using diverse media to enhance their understanding of findings, reasonings, and evidence. So one form of media, visual media. So that's just print, text, Word documents, a PowerPoint even is a textual form of media. There's graphical media. They may have to show an image, create a flow chart, a graphic organizer. They may have to create a graph showing research data, spreadsheets. So this is more graphical media. They may have to create some sort of audio media, a podcast like this. Our students are creating podcasts. They may create a song or speeches. Those are all audio forms of media. And then, of course, visual forms of media, where they create a YouTube video or a PowerPoint or Prezi, which is another type of slideshow. Digital products. So they have to produce something once they learn information. So when their teachers are teaching these English language arts standards, the children will have to present the information in one of these forms. Students must use technology to create and publish digital writing products in diverse formats and media. It may be a typed document. That's what they're most familiar with. That's what teachers are most familiar with. It's easier just to have the kids write a report. But there are so many other things we could have them do, so many other things that can engage the students, okay? Like a video. They can create a commercial for a topic, okay? They can create a PowerPoint presentation and stand up here like this and give a presentation. They can create graphs and charts to enhance their topic. They can write a blog, create a website, create apps, spreadsheets, digital photo albums, ebooks. The list just goes on and on and on about what kids can do with technology in education. Now I want to talk a little bit about technology and testing. So the shift has happened. The year-end test is no longer a paper pencil test, except for science, for fifth and eighth graders, I think. Testing is now all digital. So children have to get on the computer and take their tests. So with that, there is so much that they have to know and have to be able to do in order to successfully take this test. And so I just wanted to talk about some of the what's different about this test. So now the new testing, we used to have CST, now we have SBAC, Smarter Balanced Assessment Consortium. That's the SBAC testing. And you guys actually can go online and kind of look at some of the tests that the students have to take. And I would show you, but I'm scared to try to go online again. I don't want to try. We have another video to show, but I don't want to show it because I don't know what's going to happen. But, and anyway, so, maybe we'll try the last video. Okay. So these are some of the things they have to do digitally. They're taking the test digitally. Okay. So before, their paper and pencil test had multiple choice options, and they could choose their single answer. Now it's a little different. So they do have multiple choice with a single correct answer, but they also have multiple choice with multiple correct responses. So it's no longer that I just need to pick right one. Sometimes there's a right two or a right three. Okay? So that the children, this makes them think more critically because it's no longer just one answer. They choose these answers using radio buttons where you can click on the answer, check boxes, or sometimes you have to highlight the proper answer. So that means that kids have to know how to highlight digitally. These are all skills that they have to know. They have matching tables where you have to select or deselect a checkbox within a table, put information in a table. They have to type short or long responses. Do you guys know how old students are expected, what age students are expected to be able to type a one-page paper in one sitting? What age do you think? Any 7th grade, 10, 12, 5th grade, you're close, in 4th grade, okay? In 4th grade, they are expected to be able to type one full page in a single sitting. So that's age 9 or 10, okay? Yeah, type, like actual typing. Yep. No, sitting. So just sitting, sitting. So just in one sitting, they're taking a test and they need to answer a question, they should be able to type one page. So we have work to do because our kids right now can't really do that. Okay? So they have to type short or long responses. Another implication with the short and long responses is that I know for me, when I first began using a computer, I couldn't construct and type at the same time. I couldn't do that. I had to write it out and then go back and type it. So sometimes I ask the teachers, are your kids able to construct and type at the same time? Is it easier to write first? You need to think about, this is all so brand new, that can affect their scores if they're not able to construct and type at the same time and you don't give them an alternative. So right now, all students are expected to take the test for their grade level. Now, this test is, what do they call it? Computer adaptive, okay? This is a computer adaptive test where based on your answer, it either scales the question up or scales the questions down. So for students with disabilities, they go through the proper channels. They're in RST, they're tested, they're placed in education, Within the testing, they have different scaffolds for them. For students who have different disabilities. It's in their IEP plan, and you program it in for that particular student. So they try to address it, but this is very new for everyone, so no one's really going to perform well. So the scores were horrid. Last summer, that's when we got our first set of scores for these new Common Core standards, and they were absolutely awful, which is pretty good because hopefully we just go up from there. Okay. Yes. Yes. You know, that's later on in the PowerPoint, like they have to be able to self-teach. They can, but there are some things that they need to, a large problem is that the teachers don't know how to do it, and this is a form of test prep. Yeah, they don't know how to do it, and they don't know how to teach the kids how to do it. It's just, you know, really the whole thing is just like, it's so overwhelming for them. They have these new standards, but not only do they have the standards piece, but the technological piece. It's too much for a lot of the teachers. So it's just, we're a work in progress. We're absolutely a work in progress. The kids are probably teaching themselves to touch type, but what we try to do is give them resources. We're instructional coaches, and so we give them resources. There's a free typing curriculum, typingweb.com, or typing.com, and teachers can actually have the kids learn how to type on this typing web. Yeah. That they need to learn how to type, and that's the resource we give out to parents. Let them know, you know, go. You can go to typing.com and have kids type. Yes.
Is the
so what I'll do is I'll show you where you can go to practice with your kids, and show you a great way to test prep with them. Okay. So students have to drag and drop. So they have to take, go on the computer, click on an image, and drag it to another location. They have to fill in tables. They may have to add something on the graph, create numeric responses, and then sometimes there are two-part questions. You might have a multiple-choice answer, so you choose your answer, and based on the answer you chose, then you have to write a short response behind it, okay? You have what's called hot text, where they have to select text and move it around. They may have a paragraph, and they have to reorder the paragraph, move it around here and there. And then they have listening tasks where they may play a video clip or an audio clip, and the student has to start it in a certain place or stop it in a certain place. And then, of course, they have essay writing. One thing that children must know with this SBAC testing is they have to know what a source is and what evidence is, because they're asked questions like, you know, they'll have to read two stories on the computer screen. They have to toggle between both the stories and the questions. So they have story one, story two. They have the questions over here. They have to refer back to story one and then type in the answers here, then go back to story two. But the question might say, provide your answer and list the source. And the thing about this test is if you do not answer the question, you cannot move forward. So when they say list the source, if you don't say source one or source two or give the name of the article or give the name of the source, the child won't be able to advance to the next question because they didn't answer the question. So there's a lot going on. There's a lot they have to do. Even the young students, they start taking this test in third grade. There's a whole lot that they have to do. And so we really have a lot of work to do with this testing here.
Last year was the first year for the testing, and that's the first thing that the kids ask. Does this count for anything? And we had to say, actually, no, and the test did not count, but we wanted to see so that the people who prepared the test could see where they needed to tweak it. And basically that they took the same attitude. They just put answers everywhere. And that was par for the course of kind of our bad testing results. And even this year, even though it goes on their records, but it's kind of not, it is and it isn't counting for something. But then next year, it will count. So we're just trying to get our kids in the frame of mind that this is today, this is a wave of the future now. So take it seriously.
And yes, before, when you can give the entire second grade the test or the entire school can test at one time in the past with paper and pencil tests, now you only have so many computers. Only a couple classes can test at a time. So it's very different. Testing now takes 2 months versus 2 weeks because you have to have these schedules for the testing. Yes. That's smart, too. That's smart, and they want that driver's license. Okay, and this is my final slide on technology skills, and it goes back to our 21st century learner. So these are like the top 10 skills our 21st century learners must have to function now and in the future. So number one is they have to have the ability to do an internet search using the proper terms and searching for the proper mediums, whether they're looking for web information, images, videos. They have to know how to do that. They have to be able to use the Office Suite. That's like a Word and PowerPoint. But Google has their own suite, and it's free. So a lot of the kids are familiar with that. Somebody talked about self-learning and accessing help. They have to be able to go and learn when they're having trouble on their computer. They have to know how to fix it or where to go to find it. Do they go to a menu, a help menu? Do they go to an online manual? But they have to be able to go and access help on their own. Of course, they have to know how to type. Social media, they need to know how to use it properly for school and think about the whole cyberbullying thing, okay? Then they have to have what's called netiquette. That means they're able to use the internet, email, social media properly. So for work and professionalism, you know, sending professional emails. And with the social media, if you are working, you don't talk about your boss on your Facebook page. So they need to learn, they need to learn about things like that. Security, how to keep their information safe, and phishing. I was a victim of phishing. So somebody sends out something. If you click on the link, then they have your password. And so they go into your account and they send out information from your account. So people would call me and say, hey, you sent me something about Viagra. And I'm like, no, I didn't. I didn't do that. But that's what happens. It will be these medical companies. They get your information, get in there, send it out, and everybody's texting me like I've done something. I'm like, I didn't do that. Mm-hmm. And so you have to change your password. Then we... Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Very good. Thank you. Okay. They have to be able to troubleshoot their hardware. So a lot of times when we go to schools, a teacher will say, I don't know what happened. My projector's not working. And I go there and I say, just plug it up. And so you have to be able to troubleshoot things like that. And then they have to be able to, they have to be able to back up their data. Now we have something called the cloud. So a long time ago, we used to put things on a floppy disk. Then it was on a CD. And so then we went to flash drives. Now we don't need anything. We just throw it up in the cloud. So our stuff is just somewhere in the air like this. And that's where we put our data, okay? And then, of course, apps and software. They have to be able to find apps for whatever their needs are for work and school, and they have to find free alternatives, okay? And so those are some of the skills that they'll need now and in the future, and as time goes on, as technology advances, they'll need to know more, okay? So we're going to go into the resources section. I'm just going to share these first two with you in Ms.
Okay, just because I know the time. So just quickly, how can you help your child in literacy? Ask child-specific questions, age-specific questions about what they read and have them cite the evidence. Where did you find that? You know, because kids can find some things and tell you things and ask them, where did you hear that? Where did you find that? What's the resources? Encourage your children to read and write and speak. I know as a kid, there's a commercial now that talks about talk to your child even at birth. I never googled and gaga'd at my son. I talked to him just the English, you know. We had conversations, and I kept him engaged that way. Encourage your children to research topics. When kids ask you, well, you know that question that young kids like to ask, where do babies come from? Well, that may not be one just yet, depending on the age. But when they have those inquiring minds, like, okay, so where does the milk come from? That's pretty good, scientifically. Well, let's look it up. Let's research it. Have your child follow step-by-step instructions or set up directions in order to accomplish the task. I didn't understand why my mother would take us to the hobby shop. I'm from Tennessee. But we would go to the hobby store and we'd buy model cars. We'd buy puzzles. And I had a stamp collection years ago. I don't know where it is now. It might be valuable if I could find it. But those kind of things that make kids, I used to buy my kid the what are those things that they put together? Lego, to put stuff together. So we want to see those motor skills come alive. So all of those are good tools for kids to have. And games. They don't play enough games. They have this kind of game, but games, Monopoly, and all of those types of games. And then how you can help your children in math. Practice addition, practice subtraction and multiplication. Math games. Have them, I know I'm fourth grade, and we found out that our kids have attended the same school. And my son's fourth grade teacher, they used to have to do projects all the time, and I spent so much money at Michael's. But we had to create a math game, and we created something called Multiplicity. And it came out pretty good. I was amazed. And one horror story that we both share is that mission project. How many people have put missions together? Yeah, see? And you can't go buy the kit. So, now, back to technology.
Okay. Mm-hmm. These are two resources I just wanted to share with you, and these are links to these. These go over a whole list of technology tools. So this one here, this is another school district, but they have kind of developed a curriculum for technology skills specific to the SBAC testing. So it goes over mouse skills, what kind of skills they have to have with the mouse, basic keyboarding skills, basic knowledge of computer skills. So there's a whole list of things students need to be familiar with. And Paramount Unified did the same thing. They also came up with a curriculum to help prepare kids for the testing. Okay, here you can go.
Okay, so technology tools for writing. Of course, Megan mentioned Google Docs. I'm still learning Google Docs. BrainPop. The Khan Academy is excellent for math, to help with math. Digital storytelling. There's a voice thread called voicethread.com. Lesson ideas, podcasting. And then there are free Common Core apps. If what is that, iTunes for Apple?
You can download the Common Core app, either in the iTunes store or Android store, depending on the type of phone you had. But if you wanted access to the Common Core standards, you can actually download the app. And all you have to do is put in Common Core. And if you're interested, I don't want to try to go to the website, but if you're interested, you can go to californiatech.org. This is where the practice test is located. And what you can do, you don't even have to register. You go in, you get to select your the grade level of your student, and then you select either ELA or math. And you can go in and actually look at questions. You can have the kids complete it online, or as a teacher, what you do is connect your computer to a projector, and you go through and you talk through each problem with the students. You talk about those technological skills that they need, and you talk through each problem with the kids. And that's like the best way to do test prep, to talk through everything. But you can do that right at californiatech.org. And Maury, you can give me a call. You know how to reach me if you need more information or assistance with that. Okay? So with that, we had a video as a part of our final thought, and I don't want to try it, but can try it now.
This is, okay. Yeah.
And also, I don't know if you guys want to complete an evaluation. We have a yellow form back there, which is an evaluation where you can write what you thought about this workshop, if you want to. Let's see. If this one works, that would be so awesome.
Part of a lost generation, and I refuse to believe that I can change the world. I realize this may be a shock, but happiness comes from within is a lie, and money will make me happy. So in 30 years, I will tell my children they are not the most important thing in my life. My employer will know that I have my priorities straight because work is more important than family. I tell you this, once upon a time, family stayed together. But this will not be true in my era. This is a quick fix society. Experts tell me 30 years from now, I will be celebrating the 10th anniversary of my divorce. I do not concede that I will live in a country of my own making. In the future, environmental destruction will be the norm. No longer can it be said that my peers and I care about this earth. It will be evident that my generation is apathetic and lethargic. It is foolish to presume that there is hope. And all of this will come true unless we choose to reverse it. There is hope. It is foolish to presume that my generation is apathetic and lethargic. It will be evident that my peers and I care about this earth. No longer can it be said that environmental destruction will be the norm. In the future, I will live in a country of my own making. I do not concede that 30 years from now, I will be celebrating the 10th anniversary of my divorce. Experts tell me this is a quick fix society, but this will not be true in my era. Families stayed together once upon a time. I tell you this, family is more important than work. I have my priorities straight because my employer will know that they are not the most important thing in my life. So in 30 years, I will tell my children, money will make me happy is a lie, and true happiness comes from within. I realize this may be a shock, but I can change the world, and I refuse to believe that I am part of a lost generation.
Yes. Isn't it? I was so amazed when I saw that. I said, how did they do that? Okay. And so that pretty much concludes our presentation about technology. I don't know what this is.